Welcome to Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop, where you'll find the unique, the bizarre, and sometimes the haunted. Feel free to look around, peruse the items, and never fear, there's nothing here that bites. Hard anyway. Hello there, and welcome back to Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop. I am your shopkeeper, Chris Baker, and today a very interesting item. If you'll come over here to the bookcase of haunted tales, lost manuscripts, and forgotten tomes, we have a selection of books, grimoires, and journals from antiquity. And many of these books hold incantations and rituals used in witchcraft. And since the 90s, it has become very in vogue to portray witches as misunderstood victims of the patriarchy. And while some witchcraft may lean to the light, there is much, like depicted in these volumes here, that owe its power to the Dark Lord. And therein lies the essence of today's episode of Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop. So let's pull out the mutoscope and take a look at the latest series, American Horror Story, Delicate. So, American Horror Story has been one of those anthology series that I have had a love-hate relationship for quite some time now. And I want to love the American Horror Story series. I want to love it. I don't always do. American Horror Story really has a problem with me of having good ideas that they just convolute and make overcomplicated and don't really stick the landing on a lot of these stories that like I said, have really good basis, have a really good idea. And I love the idea that they started out with, and it's become less and less over the seasons, where you have this cast that returns playing different characters in each story. Now, that cast is kind of, you know, some actors have gone the wayside, Jessica Lange, Evan Peters, but then you still have some of the mainstays, some of those that have been there from the beginning, like Dennis O'Hare. Zachary Quinto is still very much involved with this. Billy Lord and Leslie Grossman have become some of the newer faces that are consistently in repeating seasons. So I really liked that kind of traveling actor troupe that are going in and doing all these different stories season after season. It's a great concept. But like I said, doesn't always pull it off in the very end. And I know last season, the NYC season, just to me, it dealt with real life horror with the AIDS epidemic. Certainly horrific in its own right. But it wasn't a horror story. It wasn't a creatures that go bump in the night, supernatural thriller type of story. And so I was really hoping American Horror Story would kind of rebound after last season. And I thought they had a really interesting idea, because I think Delicate is the first season where they have adapted a novel. I can't think of any of the other stories where a novel has been adapted for the story. And of course, the novel in question, Delicate Condition by Danielle Valentine, a book I was not aware of, but in watching this, I really wanted to know how much of this story came from the book. So I didn't read the book, but I did enough research on it to understand how much of this season came from the book and how much of it wasn't from the book and a creation of the showrunners, Ryan Murphy and Brad Falchuk. And not only did they have something interesting in this season where they're adapting an already established novel, I thought it was very interesting that instead of having multiple writers over the season, they primarily stuck with one writer. Haley Pfeiffer was the writer for all 9 episodes of this. And that's something that I don't believe American Horror Story has done before. Now, they had multiple directors. Jennifer Lynch, I know, directed a lot of the episodes, probably the bulk of the episodes. But they just had one writer. And that, to me, seemed interesting. It looked like it could have had some really good pluses for American Horror Story. But we'll get into all of that. First and foremost, though, I've got to say, we're going to head into some spoiler territory. So if you haven't watched American Horror Story Delicate, I encourage you to go check it out on FX or on Hulu. I wanted to enjoy it more than I did, and I enjoyed it all the way up until the end. It was just the ending that really fell flat. And if you want to see what I'm talking about, go check it out and then come back and listen to my thoughts on American Horror Story Delicate. But if you have watched it or you don't care about spoilers one way or the other, we're going to press on and talk about this series and this season of American Horror Story as we head into some spoiler territory. So the basic premise of this is that this couple, Anna and Dex, they're trying to get pregnant and they're having trouble, so they go with in vitro fertilization. And once they become pregnant through IVF, then some weird things start happening, and it all of a sudden starts to escalate, and things get weirder and weirder until we have this main climax. And for the most part, as I said, I did some research on the Daniel Valentine story, Delicate Condition, and for the most part, this story goes right along with the book, for the most part. I mean, there are a couple characters. The Siobhan character is kind of an amalgamation of two different characters in the novel, and which, you know, to me, didn't really play a big part. But for the most part, everything was, like, everything that was in that first, like, seven episodes, we'll say, generally speaking, that's how it played out in the book. And I thought that was really interesting that they stayed so dedicated to the story that is in the book. I think the one thing where, or the one area where things go off the rails is the ending. And, you know, we're in spoiler territory, so I'll play straight with you. In the book, just like in this, there is a cabal of witches, a coven of witches that are behind all the things going on with Anna and her pregnancy. In the novel, it comes across as creepy and some weird things are happening, and it almost feels like she's being gaslit a little bit, the Anna character. But in the end, the witches, they're just there to help. They're just there trying to help women who can't get pregnant get pregnant. It's a very benign, a very, you know, altruistic reason for what they're doing and the witchcraft that they're practicing. And that's all good and well. But this is American Horror Story, and I want some horror. So I really appreciated that in American Horror Story Delicate, that they made this a more malevolent group of witches, that they weren't there just to help women get pregnant. They were there to do dastardly things. And in the end, in that last episode, they really spell it out quite literally. And we'll talk about that coming up. But for the most part, this story went fairly right along with the book. And I appreciated that. The only problem is that through all these episodes, it just felt very repetitive in the way they did this. And they did this in 9 episodes. I don't know if that was on purpose. I'm guessing it probably was to kind of emulate the 9 months of a full-term pregnancy, to be kind of a mirror of that. But there again, like I said, it just felt like it was the same things over and over again. Something happening to Anna, making her think she's crazy, gaslighting her. Her husband doesn't believe her. No one believes her that these weird things are going on. And then at the end, we find out she was right all along. It was very much the same things like that over that, those same gaslighting things, those same creepy thing happens, but she has no proof. And it's a trope that they use in horror a lot, of the woman who is becoming hysterical because, you know, creepy things are happening, and then nobody believes her. And yeah, we've seen that a dozen times, and they just really went to the well one too many times with this. But they did a lot of the same things. The one character showing up in her bed and whispering baby and then disappearing and then finding it out. It is somebody that works at the doctor's office that she goes to that is obsessed with her and having an affair with her husband. That was all straight out of the book. The cameras in the house and things like that were all straight out of the book. Even the Mrs. Preacher character and things she's gone through, and even the flashbacks. There were a lot of flashbacks in the books to women who these witches have helped in the book. In the story, in the American Horror Story adaptation, things are more sinister because As I said, the one thing I really did appreciate this is that this Coven of Witches, we've already done the Good Witches and the Coven series of American Horror Story. It's time to do some bad witches that are up to no good. And they did that with this. And they showed in some of these flashbacks some of the weird and creepy things they're doing that you're not 100% sure if they're bad guys or not. I kept waiting for them at the end to do, oh, they're just misunderstood. They're not bad witches at all. They're the good kind. But I'm glad they didn't do that. I'm glad they stuck with the, you know, they're chanting in Latin something about Satana and Satan. And so I was like, they've got to be bad guys in this. But to me, that was one of the best things they did in this. And that's one of the things about American Horror Story that I really have not enjoyed over the year, because American Horror Story historically has done this where they tell a story in the present timeline and then we spend half of the season with flashbacks to other things and just constantly telling stories in flashbacks. And after a while, it just gets formulaic and gets boring and predictable. And a lot of the flashbacks and a lot of the American Horror Stories seasons are just nonsensical and don't really have anything to do with the present. They could do away with these flashbacks completely or just tell the story linearly and it be more effective. Where I thought in this, the flashbacks were used really well and were actually very pertinent to the story, very pertinent in telling the bigger picture of the story. You had the flashbacks with a lot of these pregnancies that these witches have been a part of, like Queen Mary, Mrs. Preach. The one I enjoyed the most was, I believe, episode 7, Ave Hestia, which probably my favorite episode of this season, because that's where you get the flashback with the family. Cara Delevingne's Ivy is this witch, and we get a flashback of her having these two twins. And then in this flashback in episode 7, the twins are older. You have the Adeline and Sonia characters as adults. And it really tells you a lot about how old these characters are, how they were in the, I don't know when it's supposed to be, the 1600s, 1700s. And then, of course, they're also in modern day. So you get established that some of these characters have very long lives. And to me, it was just a really interesting flashback episode that opened your eyes to a lot of what's really going on with this story. And I think that's where you really get the notion that, okay, this is a coven of witches that are perpetrating these things, and that the Adeline character is not following suit and getting in with all the devil worshiping evil stuff. But ultimately, you know, these characters, and there are a lot of good characters and a lot of good acting in this. I quite enjoyed some of the actors. Emma Roberts as Anna, I thought she was really good, very believable in the hysteria, very believable in the creepiness of what's going on with her, even when, you know, she's starting to eat rotten raccoon meat and having some weird moments like that. I thought she played that very well. The only thing I didn't like in her acting was that last episode. The first half of the episode where she's at the Oscars and she wins and then she goes into labor and they, you know, the driver, I believe is Cara Delevingne, she kills the bodyguard and ends up eventually killing Dexter. Emma Roberts did really good in that. But then once you got into that red room scene with another actress, I use that term in very loosely, then it just felt like she's reacting to things. And it just, I don't know what it was about the way her lines were coming across. It just didn't feel very believable. It just felt like, okay, she is feeling how ridiculous this is and how bad this scene is. So she's just not putting everything into it. And that is something that a director should be pulling a better performance out of an actress. But I just didn't care for her performance in some of that last half of the final episode. But all in all, I did like Emma Roberts' performance. Matt Zuckery as Dex, I enjoyed him. Not very familiar with his work. Never watched Gilmore Girls or anything. Kim Kardashian, I thought she did an okay job. When I found out she was going to be starring in this, I thought, oh, here we go. It's not like Lady Gaga, which when Lady Gaga was in the Hotel season, I don't know as if she had done much acting up to there. But I thought, okay, I think, you know, she's a performer. She knows how to perform. And even though her performance is usually singing, I think sometimes it is just a small leap for singers to become quality actors. So I was at least willing to give it a shot, and I thought she did a really good job, and she's gone on to have a quite successful acting career since then. Kim Kardashian is a reality star, and that's what I expected out of her. I don't think she did a horrible job, at least what she was given. For the most part, they kept this character very one note and very ball busty, if not bitchy, hard ass agent type. Like I said, very one note, and she pulled that off. It wasn't until that final episode where they have that Red Room scene and it's nothing but Emma Roberts reacting to what Kim Kardashian's Siobhan is saying, and they give Siobhan, Kim Kardashian's character, like just a shit ton of dialogue, pages of monologue about what's going on. And of course, from a writing standpoint, it broke the cardinal rule of show, don't tell. And that's all they did, was they just told everybody what was happening, told everybody about the evil plans of this coven of witches, how they're trying to create super babies with superpowers. And it's just, when you say it out loud, it comes across as stupid. And if you show it, you don't tell people what's happening, but you show what's happening, it can be creepy and it can work. But when you say it out loud, we are trying to create babies with superpowers, it just sounds fucking dumb. And when it's coming from Kim Kardashian, it sounded even worse, because, you know, even though she did an okay job in some of those early episodes where her character was one note and she was limited to how much dialogue she had to read, she did fine. But having to, like I said, do pages of dialogue where she is explaining everything, her performance really showed. You showed the weaknesses in her performance, because she doesn't have a lot of range as an actress. That's not necessarily a knock on her, because she's not an actress. She's a reality actress, and I'm sure a lot of what goes on her Keeping Up with the Kardashian shows is a put on and not real life. She's still not a good actress. And I think that's one thing from a writing standpoint, from a directing standpoint, from a casting standpoint. You knew she was going to have this moment. You knew she was going to have all these lines of dialogue, and yet you cast her for this role anyway. And it's the job of writers and directors and producers to emphasize and accentuate the positives and the strengths of an actor and hide those flaws and those negatives in an actor. And they just hung her out to dry with this, like I said, pages of dialogue and exposition that she, you know, it'd be tough for a seasoned actress or actor to pull this off and make it interesting when you've got Kim Kardashian, who's not a seasoned actress, and to put that all on her shoulders. And you just really got no menace out of this character. There were moments before where you did, when her lines were kept at a minimum, and again, you show, don't tell. With this, it didn't work, and I can't blame Kim Kardashian completely for that, because they set her up for failure with this whole last half of the season finale. But yeah, all the other actors and actresses I thought were fine. Annabelle Dexter Jones, actually the daughter of Foreigner guitarist Mick Jones. She played the dual role of Sonya and Adeline. She did a really good job with that character, making both characters feel like different people. I thought that's a tough gig for any actor, but I thought she pulled that off quite well. Michaela J. Rodriguez as Nicolette. The character was just kind of bland in one note, and the performance, I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it. Dennis O'Hare is always fantastic, always plays, you know, just this over the top, a lot of times bad guy. In this, he's not quite a bad guy, but he's a morally ambiguous type of doctor character, which he does a fantastic job. Cara Delevingne, I thought, did a really good job, although her character felt really underutilized in this. I think there's a situation where, as the Ivy character, especially in some of those flashbacks, you got more menace out of her than you did with the Siobhan character. And I'd almost rather her played that role instead of Kim Kardashian, because I think you could have got the menace you needed from this head, you know, this thousand-year-old character, thousands of years old character, who is pulling the strings and puppeting all the events and manipulating people and trying to create this super race of babies that who knows what they're supposed to do. Create a witch, like X-Men team. I'm not sure what the whole end game for that was, but take over the world, apparently. But Julie White as Mrs. Preacher, good job with that. Maz Ali as Kamal, the bodyguard, I thought he did a good job. There were two characters that, the Ashleys, Billy Lord and Leslie Grossman. I love Billy Lord. Leslie Grossman as an actress, I just, like, I don't know whether it's the characters or just her performance, just always kind of rubs me the wrong way. I'm sure she's a lovely person. It just, like I said, it's the characters and her as an actress. I just, you know, some things she's done, I'm like, oh, that's not bad. But then there's others. It's just, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just me, but they play these two characters, Ashley, and they're there for the bulk of this. And then they just disappear. Like, after episode 7, I don't think we saw them in 8. I know we didn't see them in the season finale in episode 9. The characters just disappeared. And at least the characters created some sense of what the F's going on here. Because you see them in flashbacks. You see them in present days, hundreds if not thousands of years apart. And the characters created some air of mystery. But I suppose once you had that episode 7 that revealed the Ivy, Sonya, and Adeline character, their place in all this and their timelessness, the Siobhan character as well, I suppose you didn't need them anymore. We didn't get any more of them, so I don't know what actually happened to them, but they were there. So all in all, I thought the cast was okay. I didn't hate this cast. I actually enjoyed some of the performances. Probably the best part about the series, other than the flashbacks, that I thought they did really well. An American Horror Story for me has not had a history of doing flashbacks very well. I think the other thing is the creepiness. You know, those first 6-7 episodes just had an air of an ease about them and a creepiness about them and all these mysterious things that are happening to Anna and everything that she's going through and creating these questions. And it really added attention to it. And I thought, you know, like I said, building the creepy atmosphere, building the tension through those episodes of what's going on. It's a shame that so much of it felt repetitive by the time you got to that 6th episode into the 7th episode, that it then began to feel a bit tedious. But for the most part, through those first, you know, the first half of the season, because they split this season into 2 halves, I don't know why, but they did a decent job building tension and creepiness and atmosphere that made it quite, while you didn't get a ton of horror per se, other than some hallucinations on Anna's part, you did get a very creepy vibe that added to the feeling that you would want from a horror story. And it also had, you know, some decent deaths and gore. I really liked that scene where they're in the ambulance and Cara Delevingne blows Kamal's head off. You have the whatever is inside of Anna ripping off Dex's hand, and then Cara Delevingne shoving his hand in his throat and killing him, I guess through suffocation. I don't know, but that was gory. You had some gory hallucination scenes and dream sequences with Anna. Mrs. Preacher, her birth that she had in that flashback to, I believe that was the 80s, that had some gore to it. Some of the other flashbacks had some gore to it, because this is all dealing with pregnancy, and pregnancy is probably the closest thing you can have to a horror movie in real life. You know, they even makes the mention of, you know, every human born is born to the sound of a woman screaming, and the blood and the innards and the entrails, and, you know, it's a horrific thing, childbirth, what women go through. And this definitely played into that. It played into the fear of motherhood. It played into, as we saw in the finale, played into that notion of the patriarchy and how men have tried to put women in a certain position. I liked, though, this message that the answer to the patriarchy isn't a matriarchy, because they have this Shaban character, a thousands-year-old demon of some sort, trying to create a matriarchy, trying to create a world where men are subjugated and the only ones that are kept alive are you there for sex slaves, as she says. And, you know, I like the fact that the Anna character, Emma Roberts' character, kind of rejects that. She doesn't want that. And I think that is an interesting message, that the answer to a patriarchy isn't a matriarchy, because if we had a matriarchy instead of a patriarchy, it would be just as bad, just opposite. And I know there are some that think that, well, that's the patriarchy deserves that for all the wrongs that they've done. But there again, do you seriously want to be what you've professed to be against all this time? And I like it, kind of the notion. And they don't, one of the few things they did subtly with the message of this is the notion that Emma Roberts' character Anna rejecting this notion of a matriarchy as an answer to the patriarchy, and that this Shaban character saying that they're there to give her all she wants. She can have everything she wants. She can have her career. She can have motherhood. She can have everything her heart desires through this notion of joining them and being part of this new matriarchal society, and Emma Roberts' character Anna rejecting that, and in the end she still has all of that on her own. She doesn't need any Archie to create that for her. She has her Oscar, she has her baby, and you know, she's wearing that weird Maleficent looking crow raven wing hat that Shaban was wearing. I don't know if it's to say that she's now the leader of her coven of one. Not sure what they're trying to say with that, but to me it felt like her saying you don't need any archy, patriarchy or matriarchy, to get all you want. You make it for yourself, and she's made a life for herself with being a mother and, you know, winning that Oscar. Maybe I'm reading into that not enough, too much. Maybe I'm totally off base with that. But it definitely, you know, had some themes that made you think, which I always enjoy that. And for the most part, I thought the effects were pretty good. I mean, this wasn't an effects-heavy story. I did enjoy the Shaban character. When Adeline comes back, her ghost comes back and helps Anna defeat Shaban. And Shaban is kind of frozen there as they're chanting the Hestia stuff. And Shaban's face gets old and withered and starts to crumble. Obvious CG work, but it wasn't horrible. And I thought the design on that was pretty cool. I think one of my biggest problems with this is that all of the imagery, all of the movie posters, all of the trailers had this notion of spiders and spider babies and spiders over pregnant stomachs, and a lot of spider iconography in all of the promotional material leading up to this. And by the end of it, I am like, if I don't see a goddamn spider baby by the end of this, I riot. Of course, I didn't riot, but I didn't see a spider baby either. Where in the fuck were the spider babies? Where in the fuck were the spiders at all? We got a little spider, tiny spider at the beginning. After they leave the doctor's office, there's a spider in Anna's hair. And then at the very end, where Anna goes to pick up her baby, she's expecting the demon baby that she gave birth to that we only saw a clawed hand of. And it's a regular human baby, but there's a spider in the crib that she takes out and stomps on. There were no fucking spiders in this. And I wanted, you know, you're talking about monster babies and creating a super race of monster babies. I didn't see any monster babies. And I know that would have required some special effects, CG, practical. I don't know what you have to do to make that happen. But they didn't do anything to make that happen. And I was so looking forward to that. That's one of the things that made me think, oh, this could be a really creepy, horrific redemption for American Horror Story if they have a bunch of spider babies or spider monsters. I hate spiders. Spiders scare the shit out of me. I watched Sting not too long ago. That was half of the reason that movie was scary to me, is because of the spiders. There's a new movie on Shudder called Infested. I haven't watched it yet. I am going to watch it. I don't know if it's going to be a bonus episode this week, or if I'm not sure how things next week are going to play out, but it's about spiders. And as much as the CG doesn't look great, it still scares the shit out of me because it's spiders. And I thought that's what this was going to be, and it was not that. And I was so disappointed that this season could have been so creepy and so scary if they would have just had some of those elements that they promised. It really felt like a bait and switch. You know, I'm promised spiders by all the movie posters that they put out, all the marketing material that they put out for the season, and I didn't get any spiders. I didn't get any spider monsters. I didn't get spider babies. I barely got two regular spiders, and it was just a bit of a letdown because that was the bill of sale I had for this, is spiders, and I didn't get what I paid for. Not that I paid for anything, but metaphorically speaking. So all in all, the season was okay. Like I said, the first, we'll say, six episodes I thought were good in the sense that it stuck fairly closely to the book Delicate Condition by Danielle Valentine. I appreciated that. I appreciated the fact that they decided to make the witches in this story bad guys and not the good witches, that they're just misunderstood. Sometimes I want to see some bad fucking witches, and not down with the patriarchy witches. Witches that are creating fucking monster spider babies. We didn't get the spider babies, but they were trying to create monster babies. So I appreciated that. I appreciated the acting for the most part. I appreciated episode 7 and the flashbacks. I just think this show fell flat in that final episode. If they would have nailed that final episode, I think you have a halfway as decent season, but they really dropped the ball on the episode. And the last two episodes, Jesus pleases, they were just over a half hour long, and you needed more time. That's why I say that half of that second half of that final episode was just Kim Kardashian's Siobhan character reading exposition. And there again, cardinal rule, show, don't tell. And they decided to tell and not show. And that really hurt this season finale for American Horror Story Delicate. But ultimately, like I said, it had a lot of interesting themes, themes about mother, fear of motherhood. It was very reminiscent of Rosemary's Baby, very akin to that. And I loved how they did the one flashback with Frank Sinatra and Mia Farrow as she's working on Rosemary's Baby. That was an interesting flashback. And I thought a nice nod to the fact that a lot of people were comparing this season to Rosemary's Baby. There were some fun things like that. Like I said, some of the flashbacks were the best part of this season. But the season finale, the auteur, really dropped the ball for this. It could have made an okay season really good. As of now, it's just an okay season. It was more of a horror story than last season's American Horror Story. But it wasn't a very good ending, and it was an ending that definitely fell flat for me. So there you have it. Those are my thoughts on American Horror Story Delicate. I know that there's going to be another one. I think they're trying to do 13 seasons of American Horror Story. I don't know where we're at now. I think this is season 12, so next season would be the 13th season. I don't know if Ryan Murphy and Brad Falchuk are going to call it a day after that. I know they've got other things they're doing. Ryan Murphy's constantly producing and being a part of other projects, as well as Brad Falchuk. So I don't know. We'll see. But I imagine we'll definitely get that next season of American Horror Story. And hopefully they go out with a bang. There's so many good things about American Horror Stories. It's just a shame that they can't get through a season focusing on those good things without deviating into other weirdness and other nonsensical things that just take away from the main story that they're trying to tell. And I think that's probably one of the biggest drawbacks to any season of American Horror Story, save one or two really good seasons. So thanks for listening to my thoughts on American Horror Story Delicate. You can check out more about what's going on with Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop on our Facebook and Instagram pages. We're always posting about horror, fantasy, and science fiction, as well as the latest episodes. No matter where you listen to this podcast, like, follow, subscribe to it. Leave those reviews. 5 stars would be awesome, but whatever review you leave, we appreciate that. And as always, please share this podcast with anyone that you know that loves horror, fantasy, and science fiction. We would appreciate that more than you'll ever know, helping us get the word about what we're doing here at Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop. So until next time. Thank you for visiting Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop. We hope that you found something to your liking and visit the shop again soon. But even though you may come back, you never really get to leave Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop.